kinakailangan ko ilabas yung English ko ngayon kahit alam ko hindi ako biyasa sa English. Pero maraming salamat, lalo na sa kaibigan kong si National Master Rolando Norte sa Sports Radio. Kay Boss Rick, kay Ma'am Myrna, kay Ate Sede, Ate Judith, Ate Nida. Sa mga chess lover ngayon, sa Tempo, sa Bulgar, salamat, lumabas ko ngayon. Dahil ngayon ho, first time ko pong makakapanayam ang nag-iisang kampiyon, the only champion in the chess, Mr. Robert Bobby James Fischer. But before this, I would like to tell a happy birthday to Shane and Meredith Pereira and to that Chess Asia or Active Chess Center of Asia, National Chess Federation of the Philippines, Attorney Matt Defensor, Sana Estimo, Chad Pang and Jean Pulyarco, and to my one and only love, lovely ikaw, magandang tanghali sa bawat sa... I would like to introduce my co-anchor, National Master Rolando Norte, a 1992 Veteran Manila Olympiad, and 1994 Paris Bank National Champion. And my guest right now, the one and only, my idol, the legendary, the only one champion in my heart, Robert James Bobby Fischer. Good afternoon, Mr. Bobby Fischer.
How you doing? What about in your mind?
Good afternoon, Mr. Fischer.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Bernardino. What about in your mind?
I'm very excited because...
So you said I'm the
first
only champion
to talk about you.
Yeah, I'm the only
champion. And by the way, how are you doing now, by the way?
But you said I'm the only champion in your heart.
But yes.
What about in your mind, in your intellect? Okay, let's skip it. Okay, let's continue.
Yeah, yeah. Hello?
Yeah, who is this?
This is me, it's not you.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, hello.
I can't hear you. Who is this?
This is me, it's not you.
Something is wrong with your voice. It's distorted.
It's right near the mic.
Oh, maybe you're too near the mic.
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're too near the mic.
How are you doing, Bobby?
Good, good, yeah. How is everything in the Philippines?
Everything is, you know, everything is under control now, Bobby.
Yeah, I just read an article in here in Japan by the Japanese ambassador to the Philippines. He says the situation is so terrible there, he can't sleep at night. You know?
If I'm not mistaken, Bobby, this is your third time here, no? In this.
This is the fourth time on the. What is the name of the station?
DZSR 918.
DZSR, yeah, this is the fourth time, yeah. I was on three times before.
Mr. Bernardino here, would like to ask you some questions for you.
Okay.
Hello, Mr. Bobby Fischer. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I heard about your complaints about the loss of your memorabilia.
Yeah.
Will you please talk
it's
about
a
about
it's a robbery?
What are these?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to tell people where they can go to get the complete picture on all of this. I have a website. You know?
So, yeah. I see about it.
Yeah. Maybe you can read out the website address. I'm looking for it myself right here.
To our avid listener, the website of world champion Robert Bobby James Fischer is http://home.app.ne.jp/moon. /Fischer, is that right?
Yeah, let me just repeat that. I want to make sure everybody gets it, because this has all my previous 20 interviews, and a whole lot of global commentaries, and many contracts and documents of all kinds. So it's http, /home.att.ne.jp/moon/Fischer/, and Fischer is spelled F-I-S-C-H-E-R.
Thank you very much, Bobby.
Yeah.
How about I heard you promoting the random chess. How about random chess?
Nothing has happened with that at the moment, you know. Hasn't gotten off the ground, really. I think Recto has played a little bit, and there have been some fast chess tournaments with it, but not really serious chess yet.
Okay, Bobby, my other question is, when did you come out with random chess?
I invented an idea
what random chess is.
Yeah, I invented this about almost 10 years ago, I think. About almost 10 years already now. And it's the same as the old chess, except in Fischer Random Chess, you have 900 you have 960 starting positions, whereas in the old chess, you just have one. And it's almost the same in every way, except for that. So you mix the back row of the pieces in a certain way. There are certain limitations. It's not every single mix counts, you see. So, but there are 960 starting positions, and you can castle on both sides from all of these 960 starting positions. So it really has the flavor of the old chess. But it doesn't have the disadvantages of the old chess, of the classical chess, because it eliminates the need for all this preparation in the openings, because there's just too much to prepare. It's hard enough to prepare now, let's say, for the one starting position, right? There are thousands of books just on the one starting position, not thousands, there's tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of books and magazines just on this one starting position of the classical chess. So, if you're going to have 960 starting positions, it's just too much for the brain to prepare, to calculate, you see? So basically, when you sit down, you'll be pretty much on your own. You won't have to have all of this theory bouncing around in your head, all these things to remember, because you won't have to remember things, because your opponent won't be able to remember anything, because he won't. It's too much for him, too. And also, hopefully, it'll make it more difficult to prearrange games, which is... You know, it's an epidemic of prearrangement now, especially at the higher levels, especially with the Jews, you know. So that's basically Fischer Random. The Jews don't like it because it's a game of talent and skill, not a game of cheating, not a game of memorization, and not controlled. Fischer Random is not controlled by any organization, like by FIDE, which FIDE is also controlled by the Jews, of course.
Okay, Mr. Bobby Fischer.
Yeah.
Do you think random chess will be accepted by chess players all over the world?
I hope so. I think eventually, yeah. It's just the problem of these damn Jews. They're blocking it, you know.
Okay. Do you think you can come over to the Philippines and show us your random chess, if possible?
Well, yeah, it's possible, you know. I tend to like to get paid, you know.
But you know, Mr. Bobby
yeah.
Fischer, right now, Manilito Prayer, our good friend from the Active Chess Center of Asia,
yeah.
They're planning to hold soon a random chess.
Oh, great.
And Prayer knows that I will interview right now you in Sports Radio. He said to me that if you, if possible, give an inspirational talk in random chess here in the Philippines, in the tournament possible.
I don't know about that, you know. But I'm giving an inspirational talk right now, you know.
If there's a possible, maybe a big company or a chess lover or good sponsor, if maybe other champions in chess like Garry Kasparov, Anatoly Karpov, Vladimir Kramnik, Peter Leko, Anand, do you play with them in a random chess match?
Yeah, well, Kasparov and Karpov and Kramnik are not champions in chess. They're crooks.
I'm sorry. I mean, if there's someone, a person, want a random chess match, maybe Kasparov versus Fischer, you will accept it?
Well, everything depends on the conditions and, all my conditions have to be met, you know. I'm ready to play. Yeah, I'm ready to play Fischer Random. You know. I have some news clippings here I'd like to go into for a minute, if I might.
Go ahead, Fischer.
Yeah. You know, regarding this war in Iraq, this is really quite horrific. And since I'm blacklisted by the Jews, I have a lot of time to listen to the radio and take clippings out of the newspaper, so I'm pretty much on top of the world news, you know. And some of the things that I have read regarding this war are just so unbelievably horrific. They make you sick. They got a picture here. He's a 12-year-old boy called Ismail Abbas. He had both his arms blown off by the U.S. They killed his mother and his father in the same explosion. And he says if he doesn't get his hands back, he doesn't want to live. And they got a picture of him here. His arms are blown off practically right up to the shoulder, really nothing left. And also he's got a lot of burns on his body. Okay, that's it. Then right underneath that picture of this boy, they've got an article that says, "We sell... says war is in Iraq is justified." He's a very famous Jew. He's a Nobel Peace Prize laureate. Okay, that's one story. Here's another story. This is from... that story, by the way, I just mentioned, that was from the Japan Times of Tuesday on April 8th, 2003.
By the way, Bobby, thanks for the story about the boy.
Yeah.
Sad thing, okay?
Yeah.
By the way,
Let me continue. I have a few more clippings in
what
the same...
do you think the setup did right now?
Yeah, let me just continue. Take a few more minutes on this same the topic, all right?
The present situation in PIDE?
Yeah, no. I want to continue regarding this Iraq war, if you don't mind. Just
go ahead, Bobby,
for
go
a few
ahead.
More minutes. I have another clipping. This is from the Japan Times of Thursday, May 1st, 2003, and it's about depleted uranium ammo, radioactive fallout, courtesy of the U.S. over in Iraq. See, the United States spread lots of depleted uranium in Iraq in the first war against Iraq in 91, I think it was, and now they've done it again in the second war against Iraq. And it says here that this uranium-238, that's what depleted uranium is, uranium-238 has a half-life of 4.46 billion years. This isn't a problem that's going to go away soon, and this stuff causes cancer. Okay, it's another story there. And now the story, this is really horrible. Here, U.S., this is from the Yomiuri Shimbun of April 16, 2003. U.S. has no plans to count civilian casualties or property damage. That's over in Iraq. And it says, the Pentagon said yesterday that it has no plans to determine how many Iraqi civilians may have been killed or injured or suffered property damage as a result of U.S. military operations in Iraq. And now is another story from the Yomiuri Shimbun, June 1st, 2003. It's taken from the Washington Post. That's an American newspaper. And this is really very terrible. The headline is Loss of Limbs and Livelihood. And it says, many Iraqis say U.S. is not making up for war damage. Now, that's a typically dirty, misleading statement. Many Iraqis say U.S. is not making up for war damage. All Iraqis say that. The U.S. hasn't done anything, hasn't paid anybody, has it? But this is a story about a very beautiful girl. Her name is Dina Sarhan. And she lost a leg to a fragment from a U.S. tank round that smashed through the front door of her house on April 10th. And then she went to the United States, authorities there in, the occupying authorities there in Iraq, to ask them for a prosthetic leg. But she has been told during visits from U.S. military officials and an army chaplain that none will be forthcoming. See, no prosthetic leg even for her, see? U.S. officials have made clear to Iraqis that they do not intend to conduct a complete accounting of war damages, nor compensate those who say the occupying army owes them something. John Kincannon, a spokesman for the Pentagon's Office of Reconstruction and Humanitarian Assistance, he says, how do you ascertain facts 3 months after the incident, for example? And once word gets out that the Americans are paying people for damages, where does it stop? I want to tell this character, John in Canada. You should have thought of that before you invaded Iraq. I have another story here from a Japanese paper. This is Japan Times, April 28, 2003. America is the greatest abuser of WMD, that's weapons of mass destruction. What in the end boggles the mind is that such a transparently political term as WMD could be manipulated to launch a war. And now here's another story. This is not about Iraq. This is about something else. This is Hiroshima blast marked. 14 anti-nuclear bomb protesters held in the U.S. They were arrested. 14 protesters were arrested for protesting the Hiroshima nuclear bomb that the U.S. dropped in August 6, 1945. And up until now, they've been doing this for many years now, see? They've been doing this for decades. And they protested outside of the Y-12 nuclear plant to commemorate the atomic bombing of Hiroshima during World War II. And but now, up until now, the fine has only been $50. But the U.S. says that the protesters have been getting, quote-unquote, more aggressive, whatever that means. They don't explain what it means. And now they're going to bring federal charges against these 14 arrested people and put them away for a year, 1 year, for protesting the crime that the U.S. committed of dropping an atom bomb on Hiroshima. Can you imagine that? That's the United States.
Yeah, by the way, buddy, thanks for, I heard it.
Yeah.
Thanks, by the way, I heard that, how about your memorabilia or piece
yes,
of belongings?
Yes, things? Yeah, my stuff was stolen, this was late.
Because I see your website in global commentary, like Mr. Bob elsewhere.
Right.
In just a word in the dictionary like that.
That's right.
Can you explain that?
Well, this was in about late 1998, early 1999, the United States government, Beacon's Moving and Storage Company, the Pasadena, California branch, and Mr. Bob Eldred robbed all of my stuff in storage. And this is not a small robbery. This is one of the biggest robberies in the history of the United States, perhaps the biggest robbery in terms of monetary value. They robbed an entire room full of my belongings, not a cubicle, a room. I rented a very expensive, large room. They broke into my safes, broke into my file cabinets, broke into all of my boxes, hundreds of boxes, and just stole everything, including my gold coin collections, my silver coin collections, my score sheets, thousands of books, maybe hundreds of thousands of documents, and maybe even more, maybe in the millions, but surely in the hundreds of thousands of documents, all my receipts, my contracts, my fan mail, my chess sets, my everything. My statues, all the gifts I've gotten over many decades, and just stole every that last thing. An outright vicious robbery, a violation of my constitutional rights, because so far as anyone knows, there was never any due process of law. No court case. Nothing. And the Jew press that controls the U.S., controls the press in the U.S., they're trying to justify this crime, saying it's all legal. Now, there's an article in the Atlantic Monthly. They call this a fictitious robbery. See, I'm out of all my belongings, but they call it a fictitious robbery. In other words, they're saying it's all legal, see? But, of course, it's not legal because under the Constitution, people cannot deprive you of your property without due process of law, you know? Plus, it's a very obvious conspiracy between Bob Ellsworth and Beacons because Bob Ellsworth was paying my storage fees for years with the money I was sending. I was sending $5,000 a year to pay for my storage and some other things. And suddenly, he claims now he stopped paying, see? So to give Beacons a pretext to rob my belongings is just totally absurd. Obviously, the Jews are behind it, you know. A vicious crime, just a huge amount of money this stuff is worth. Tremendous amount of money. There's a tremendous invasion of privacy, stealing letters from my mother, from my, you know, just all, stealing copies of my letters. It's just everything. Just unbelievable crime, you know. Stealing my handwritten notebooks. The list goes on and on. It's just a gigantic list of things they've stolen. Well, the United States is a completely lawless country. If you've been listening to my interviews, Tycoon Marlin?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Mark, have you been listening to my interviews in, on the website?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been listening to them?
Yes?
Have you been listening to my interviews on the website?